Hello, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and your connection to a better car life. And I appreciate your attendance at this special event because I'm going to be on a soapbox today, and it's all about bad actors. You know, they can be in any business. I totally get that. I've seen them in, you know, the real estate business and the banking business. You know, there's people get ripped off all the time by unscrupulous people in banking or insurance industry or, you know, buying appliances for that matter. Well, I don't know. You're probably not going to get ripped off if you're going to Costco. But if somebody's selling something and it has a negotiable price and it has other complications in there, you know, it could be like, I've heard of people getting ripped off putting in a swimming pool or by a person that's doing remodeling work for them. I mean, we know these bad actors exist. We just have to have our guard up and, you know, be prudent, do the research. But there's some things you don't have time to do research on, and that's unfortunate for a lot of people, especially those who are uninformed and don't really know what to look for. But I'm going to talk about a particular situation, and I do appreciate those who call in and also who send me emails wanting me to address a specific issue. This was a phone call from a person who bought a vehicle about 30 days ago, and they were in the dark about a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you about something that's happening in this industry that I don't think it should, but it obviously gives a bad actor the opportunity to hide what he's doing or what she's doing. And so, you know, when you buy a new car or truck or, you know, SUV, whatever, you're going to be going through whatever dealership that you're going through, you're going to be going through their process, okay? It is their step-by-step process that takes you from the time you get out of your car and approach a salesperson to the time you're leaving the lot. And a lot of those processes are very good. Most of them are. They're designed to keep, you know, to give you all the product knowledge that you need and answer all of your questions, take away uncertainty, provide you with a deal, a price that is hopefully a good deal for you and profitable for the dealership. I mean, you don't expect the dealership to not make any money. They're going to make some money, but they shouldn't make anything that you don't know about. I mean, you don't know how much they're making, but they should not jack up the price beyond what your understanding is. You know, if you think you're buying a car for $20,000 plus tax and fees and so forth, then you should be buying the car for $20,000, not $30,000 when you get home and you finally read the paperwork. This is what's happening. This is happening at a lot of dealerships, and I just want to, you know, if you have somebody, a youngster that's, you know, getting ready to go buy a car, and maybe a grandchild or a nephew or somewhere, maybe you are. You are most vulnerable as a payment buyer. Now, I've talked about this over and over again, but I felt like after this particular incident, it's really got me angry because of what is going on out there. And you just have to be careful. I wish I could just tell you who it is, you know, which dealers are doing this kind of stuff, but I don't want to get sued. So I'm just going to have to give you a heads up. Now, okay, so you're into this process. When you get to the point where the negotiation of the price, when the numbers are presented, there's a couple things that you need to watch out for. And obviously, I'm going to tell you the end of the story first. This person wasn't paying attention. They yielded to a fast-talking salesperson, were turned over to a fast-talking finance person, didn't see any of the paperwork, signed a bunch of documents they didn't read. Now, I don't know whether they signed it on an iPad or, you know, some other type of device, or if they actually signed papers. But when they left that dealership, folks, they didn't have any paperwork in their hands. I said, are you sure? They didn't give you anything? Yeah, he said, they gave me one thing. And I said, what? They gave me a memory stick. And I'm not exactly sure what to do with that. So basically, all of his paperwork is on a memory stick that you have to stick into a computer. Now, a lot of you are computer savvy, and you know how to use a memory stick. You know, you just come back home and stick it in the side of your MacBook or you know, your Lenovo desktop or whatever, you know, you stick it into your computer and you read your documents. Well, guess what most people don't do? They don't read their documents. You know, they read their documents when they have a question. Now, what did we pay for that? You know, they're wondering, now, why is my payment so high? These people didn't even know what their monthly payment was going to be. They should have. But this is what I talk about, the uninformed. I hesitate to use the word ignorant because people equate ignorance with stupidity, and I don't. I mean, stupidity is the inability inability to understand something or refusal to understand something. Ignorance is just you're not familiar with it. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. But, you know, I'm not ignorant of what people go through, especially when they're on a tight budget. They're buying a car based on a monthly payment, and they walk into a dealership, just, you know, they've listened to the advertising, they know they're having a big tent sale, they got balloons up all over the place, and oh boy, there's a lot of activity, and boy, you came at the right time. Boy, you know, the problem is they're victims the minute they walk on that lot, and especially when stuff like this happens. So, you know, this is what happens in a corrupt organization. Number one, they're using a system called four-square negotiation. And you know, I could get into what this is all about. You know, if this was a TV show and not a radio show, it'd be a whole lot easier to explain it. The whole goal of this type of negotiation, just imagine, okay, let me start over. Just imagine drawing a big plus mark on a piece of paper, okay, and it basically separates the page into four segments, okay? So the upper left segment is where they put what they're going to pay you for your trade-in. The one to the right is what they're supposedly selling you the car for. The bottom left quadrant is where they put in how much down payment it requires. The bottom right quadrant is how much your monthly payment estimate's going to be. And they present that to you. So it is a negotiation tool. And if you see this being done to you, okay, you need to stop them right there and say, no, 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 I'm not doing this four-square stuff. No, thank you. And they'll look at you and say, so you know what this is, huh? How do you know that? Well, I listen to a little radio show or a podcast. So you're going to see this. And it'll come in different forms. Sometimes they may not draw, you know, lines on the paper separated into four corners, but that is called four square negotiation. And the whole concept behind that is to get you to focus on down payment and monthly payment and forget about what you're getting for the car. Now, the only way to defeat this is to say, you know, is to not focus on the payment, is to negotiate the sales price and the trade-in and forget about the monthly payment. Now, how can you do that if you don't know, you know, what your credit is like and stuff? Well, first you find out what your credit's like and find out what kind of rate and everything you're going to qualify for. And if you have let's say your budget limit is $500 a month, all in, tax and all, then, you know, you find out how much can you pay for a car based on book value of, you know, let's say you look it up and see what your book value is on your trade. You know, you can go to KBB.com and get pretty close. You know, if you classify your car right, put the miles in, you know, add the equipment stuff that your car has on it, you can get a pretty close figure for trade-in value. And then what do you have to pay for the new one or the used car? And you can check that value as well. And then you can come up with a trade difference, the amount that you're going to have to finance. And the banker or your credit union, whatever, can give you that information. So you walk in, you know what you qualify for, you know how much car you can buy, and so you negotiate based on the selling price of the car and what they're giving you for your trade. Because what happens is when you focus on the monthly payment, that's where the games start. That's where the bad actors start taking advantage of uninformed people. Let's just use that term. So four-square selling technique is a technique to get you to pay too much for a car. And the reason is if you're just focused on the monthly payment, then what they're going to do is they're going to pack that payment with a bunch of stuff that you haven't agreed to buy. So let's say that you could actually buy the car for $350 a month, but they've quoted you a price of $500 a month. And you could actually get that $350 payment with $1,500 down, but they said you need $5,000 down. Well, they put you, they call that, putting you on the ceiling. Hitting you with really high numbers to just make you freak out, and then anything looks good if they drop it a little bit, but you don't have a clue what you're paying for the car. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because this is where, it's not just young people, because these people that that I was talking about, they're not young. They're elderly. They're trusting. They are good folks. They don't deserve this. But somehow, these bad actors who probably go to church and have families at home, they have justified it in their mind that it is okay to steal from people. And it's not okay under any circumstances. There's no difference between this and sticking somebody up on a corner and taking their pocketbook from them, in my estimation. I'm sorry if I seem too passionate, but I am. This really makes me angry. So, and then you get into the finance office, okay? You're with this guy who has forced all this stuff. All of a sudden, you know, your $500 payment outside is now up to $650. What happened to my monthly payment of $500? Well, this includes this, 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 and this. Now, we've talked about this, this, and this, okay? All, you know, extended warranties, gap insurance, all of these products. Is, you know, this one dealer sells Etch and all kinds of different garbage. But one of the things that they do when you get into the finance office, oh, you can cancel this stuff if you don't want it. Just pick a package, then later on, if you want to cancel it, you can cancel it. That's called the cancellation close. I have a lady that has been working with us, bought from another dealer. She's tried, they did the cancellation close on her on an extended warranty. She's tried for 6 weeks trying to get that warranty canceled. And can't get anybody to talk to her. They won't return her phone calls. Every time she goes in to talk to the players that she talked to before, they're not there. They're probably hiding around back in the parts department waiting for her to leave. But that's another thing that people, well, you can cancel it. Just go ahead and pick it. Then at least you'll be protected. You'll have a chance to think about it. If you want to cancel it, you can. What they don't tell you is that if you cancel it, your monthly payment is still going to stay the same. The cancellation goes directly to the lender, and they reduce your unpaid balance. It does not affect your monthly payment. And they're not going to write you a check, you know, if you cancel something. Now, if you paid cash for the car, they'll write you a check if you can find them. But, you know, that seems to be a big issue with a lot of places, is that you can't find who you need to, you know. And your salesperson, folks, the poor salespeople are powerless. The people who are pulling off this ripoff are the guy that works at the desk, the sales manager, who is working your deal. And the salesperson is the one going, you know, talking to you. But the guy that he's talking to at the front desk that you never see or meet, that's the guy that's doing this. And then the rest of the crime is committed in the finance office. So you just have to have your guard up when you're doing this. Now, if you go to 95% of the new car dealers out there, they don't do this. There's 5%, maybe 10% that do this. They're the most, and unfortunately, they're the most profitable dealers. They're the dealership that a lot of guys want to go work on, because that's where they can make the big money. Because the dealer, the guy who owns the store, turns his back on what's really going on, and allows this by not acknowledging it, not criticizing it, not stopping it. He endorses it. You know, without coming out and saying it, he just likes those big paychecks. He likes those huge profits at the end of the month and feels good about it. How can they sleep? Because, like I say, it's a crime. The only thing that you'll never see these people, you know, in Busted magazine, their pictures. Nothing ever happens to these folks. They just have bigger boats and bigger houses and things like that. So you just have to protect yourself. Hopefully, the people who need to listen to this broadcast will get it, but unfortunately, probably most of my audience are not payment buyers, but you may be. But if you are, if you define yourself, as long as I can get my monthly payment, I'm good, then you're going in there blind. You might as well have, you know, covers over your eyes and just sign whatever they put in front of you, because that's basically what's going to happen. Okay, I'll take my first break and be back here in just a second. Okay, I have calmed down slightly, and now we're just going to talk about car loan rates. Of course, you know what the Fed's doing, right? They just went up another 75 basis points, or 0.75%, and that's going to raise the cost of financing a house and financing a car. So automakers have made a little bit of headway sorting out some of the parts shortages that have constrained our production, like Ford and Toyota and all of them have been very limited as far as the vehicles that they have in stock. But the Federal Reserve, it's hard to say, is putting up a new obstacle, and that's much costlier car loans. The average annual percentage rate on new car loans was 6.3% last month. Now, Lenny, how do they do 0% then? Well, 0% is what they call a subvened interest rate. That means that somebody else is picking up the difference. So Ford offers that, Toyota, well, I don't think Toyota does right now, but there's some manufacturers, when they want to start moving a car that's not moving very good, they used to put big rebates on it. Now they don't use rebates to move cars. They use subvened interest rates, like 0% for 36 months, or, you know, I don't know that anybody's doing 0 for 60 right now. They might be. You know, if you've got a car that's really not moving, they may do that. But those rates are, I guess, subsidized is a better term. So the finance wing of Ford is called Ford Motor Credit, and it's still part of the Ford Motor Company, but it's not part of the car divisions and the car and truck divisions of Ford. Different department, let's call it. And so if Ford Credit offers 0%, then Ford is picking up the tab, the automobile. So they're, you know, taking some of their profit and because the rate, there is no such thing as 0% interest. It is basically an incentive. Okay. So, but real car rates, now we can still get, you know, 4% money from Eastman Credit Union or different credit unions, wherever you are doing, you know, 4, maybe 5%. 6.3 though was the average. That's getting up there, and it's going to potentially slow things down. What they're saying about the car industry is that there is enough pent up demand still because of the shortages that we've had that should carry the car business on to a decent finish, and maybe the first quarter of next year will also be good. So I don't know. I'm just kind of along for the ride. Whatever happens. You know, as long as I've been in this business 44 years now, I've seen it pretty much all of it, and I try not to get too concerned about what's coming. Chrysler parent, you remember what they're called? Stellantis. That's the name of that company. They are urging owners of 276,000 older U.S. vehicles to immediately stop driving. Are you driving a Dodge Challenger? Are you driving a 2005 through 2010 Dodge Magnum? Or a Dodge Charger? Or a Chrysler 300? Well, if you haven't been notified by Stellantis, then you will be, because it's got Takata airbag problems again. Didn't you think that we were done with Takata airbag problems? You know what Takata airbags were doing, right? They were, when they went off, instead of just opening and the bag opening up and protecting you from smashing into your steering wheel, it was shooting out metal. There was a metal case around the bag itself that would, you know, it's pretty soft metal, but still, metal is metal. And it was slicing open some carotid arteries and stuff like that, which is not good. So it's like a bomb going off instead of an airbag going off. So it's pretty serious stuff, and Chrysler is saying park it. You know, 276,000 vehicles. What are those people going to do? Well, Stellantis is going to provide substitute transportation for those folks. So that means that you park your vehicle at the dealership, and they call Enterprise or Hertz or somebody like that and put you in a different car. So please, if you are driving a Chrysler or a Stellantis. Dodge Challenger, Dodge Charger, Chrysler 300, or a 2005 through 2010 Dodge Magnum station wagon. You need to call your local Chrysler dealer and see if your vehicle is, just have your VIN number ready and see if it is a part of this recall, because that's serious business. And they'll take care of you. If they don't, call me and I'll find somebody that will. Again, my cell phone number, 423-552-2020, and I'll be back in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Don't forget, one of the signs, or two of the signs, that you know that you're getting ready to be, potentially be taken advantage of, is when the salesperson says, what kind of monthly payment you looking for? And because if you tell them, then that's when the shenanigans start. You don't tell them. Say, well, don't worry about the monthly payment. I just want to find the right car at the right price, and then we'll get to the monthly payment later. Fair enough? That's the line that you use. Okay, the other thing you look for is if some salesperson comes out there with a piece of paper and it's got, you know, he's been to the sales tower, disappeared for a few minutes, and then comes back, and he's got a piece of paper with a line, a big, tall vertical line, and then one going to the side, and it has a bunch of numbers written in each box. Tell them to take that piece of paper and stick it in the waste can and say, I'm not talking, no, we're not doing it that way. I just want to know what are you giving me for my car and what's the selling price on your car? That's all I want to see. And then what kind of fees do you have? You know, you're going to charge dock fee, processing fee, whatever. Need to know what that is and what the tax would be on it. Give me those numbers. Really? You don't want to know what the month? No, I don't want to know what the monthly payment is. Well, I need your credit. I need your Social Security number, date of birth. No, you don't need that to give me a price. If you need that to give me a price, then I'm going to go down someplace else. So, because you have to resist going down that road, because these guys are professionals. They've run into everybody, but they haven't run into you after you've been coached by me. And that's what will make the difference. Okay, well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. If you need me, send me an email, mycarguru2020@gmail.com, or text me on my cell phone at 423-552-2020, and we will see you next time.